Go to Luke chapter 2. Now, there's some preliminaries here for the Christmas lesson that is that's important. And I realize if you aren't careful, you come to this topic of Christmas and you say, oh, I've heard that before. Yeah, I get it. Joseph, Mary, manger, baby, swaddling clothes, shepherds. Okay, I got it. Let's move on. So I tried to enhance the lesson this morning. Okay, I hope on Thursday night you read Luke 2. I'll show you where the chapters fit in. I hope you do that with your family. I know we do. I think as a Christian you ought to. But let me bring across some things that I don't know if you know about the Christmas story this morning, okay? And here's a couple, okay? First of all, this is the first advent of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what it'll say on the Sunday school lesson, the first advent. What's an advent? I'll be truthful with you. Christmas, how come we just don't say Christmas story? There was no December 25th celebration of Christmas until the 1200s. Y'all understand that was Catholic, started by St. Francis. Some people get really upset about that. They're like, there's nothing in the Bible about... You're right, there's not. I don't mind today. I don't mind... For instance, I'm going to preach a whole sermon on the birth of Jesus this morning. Okay? It's going to be different from what Sunday school lesson. I think as long as you keep the emphasis right, you know what I mean? Keep Santa Claus out of it. Keep the elves out of it. Keep the drunk reindeer out of it with a red nose. Okay, keep him out of it. Okay? Put your focus on what? The Advent. What is the Advent? If you look up the word Advent... It means any important or epic-making arrival. Well, there's another advent coming, right? When he comes again. So this is the first advent. When he comes to reign for 1,000 years, that's the second advent. There's also an advent. The way we talk, I know it's not a Bible word, but it's you could call it safe terminology. There's the advent of the coming of the Holy Spirit. You remember after Jesus rose from the dead and he said, "Receive ye the Holy Ghost"? That wasn't Pentecost. That was when he met him in the upper room. Okay? So that's the coming or the epic arrival of the Holy Spirit. Okay? That had not been in the Old Testament. Okay? Like that. So, this is the first advent. We'll call it the advent. Then, we called it the first advent of the Lord Jesus Christ. What does the name Jesus mean? It's his human name. It's the name that reflects his humanity. Birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath nowhere to lay his head. The word Son of Man is in reference to his humanity. He thirsted. He got tired. He could suffer pain. He was in a body that could die. Jesus means the Lord saves. That's it. Now, there's a lot of people named Jesus. We have a man in our church whose name, y'all know Brother Wally, the guy from the Marine Corps, okay, from Afghanistan. His first name's Jesus, okay, or Jesus. Nothing wrong with that, but people don't name their dogs Christ. You understand? They will name their children, and sometimes you'll find a dog named Jesus, and I've only met one, okay. I would not name my dog Jesus, but anyways. Jesus is the human name. The word Christ means the anointed one. So, when you say the Lord, what's his name? It's normally safe to say, if you want nobody misunderstanding who you're talking about, it's normally good to say, the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord, he who is God, who is Jesus, the one who saves, Christ, the anointed one, or the Messiah. That's normally the safe way of saying it. Okay? Next. Something I think every Christian should be exposed to. Okay? Remember I just told you, there's nothing in history about a December 25th celebration of the birth of Jesus until the 1200s. Okay? You look it up yourself and see how far you say, oh, Christmas goes back to Luke chapter 2 and Matthew chapter... No, it doesn't. No, it does not. Okay? Let me show you, I think as a Christian, what you should understand. And I'm going to take the next 5 minutes. This is not the whole Sunday school lesson, but watch this. If you go to Luke 1:5, you're there in Luke chapter 2, go to Luke 1:5, watch this. I think if the Lord wanted us to know when Jesus was born, he would have put it in the Bible. You understand the specific day? And I think there's a reason He didn't do that. Because there's some people that would literally have made too much of it. You understand? They would have made it too big. And I think it's wonderful to celebrate, and that's what the sermon is this morning, God coming to us. And it's good to focus on. I like the songs. I like Christmas songs. I like them. But as far as there's a reason a specific day of the month is not mentioned, okay, in the Bible, but we can get the area right. Luke 1:5, watch this. It's talking about Zechariah and Elizabeth, John the Baptist's parents. Watch this. Look at verse 5. There was in the days of Herod the king of Judea a certain priest named Zechariah of the course of Abijah. What is that? That is according to, we're not going to get super deep here. Just watch closely. Abijah was the eighth lot due to 1 Chronicles 24:10. Okay? That's all you need to know. Abijah, it was the eighth course, and his wife was of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. Now, what's that tell us? That tells us this. Zechariah served his lot when he served as a priest in the temple, ended June and July because he was of the course of Abijah. Okay? Now, next, you're in Luke chapter 1, look at verse 24. Luke chapter 1, verse 24, watch this. And after those days, his wife Elizabeth, look at verse 23. And it came to pass that as soon as the days of his ministration were accomplished, he departed to his own house. And after those days, his wife Elizabeth conceived and hid herself 5 months. Now keep in mind, these are two old people. It does not say how old, it just says well stricken in years. She's obviously past the time of having a child, but Elizabeth conceives and starts expecting. They're so amazed that this happened. John was told, but you remember, if you read, don't have time to go to it, but John said, "How shall I know?" And Gabriel said, "I already told you how you know. You're not going to be able to hear or speak till the baby's born." Okay, here's Zechariah, comes home after his lot in somewhere in June or July, and he can't talk, he can't hear, and he won't for the next, until the baby's born. Okay, until the baby's born. Then she conceives. How long does it take for a baby to grow until it's birthed? 9 months, right? 9 months. So here it says in verse 24, she conceived, then she hides herself 5 months, and then verse 26 says, in the sixth month of what? In the sixth month of her pregnancy, the angel Gabriel was sent from God into a city of Galilee named Nazareth, and there Mary is told that she will, have the Christ child. Okay? Now, let's do the math on this. Ready? Here we go. Just think, just for a second. We already know, because of what the Bible says, his eighth lot, she was expecting in June or July. Then, 9 months later, John the Baptist is born around the new year. That's going to be March or April, right? If you go June, July, 9 months from the summer, it's going to put you in the spring of next year, right? We know Jesus was born by verse 26. Mary conceives of the Holy Ghost 6 months after John is born. Okay? When does that put us? If John was born in March or April, then when was Jesus born? In September or October. Somewhere in there. Not November and definitely not December. Have you heard the old statement? Shepherds were watching their flocks by night. No shepherd does that in December over in the Middle East. You'll freeze to death. You understand? It had to have been sometime in September or October, probably the end of September to the first October. We're not given a day. Aren't you glad? Okay, we just know the time of year. And what we know as a Christian, as a Bible-believing Christian, is that it was not December. It was not December. Well, what does the Bible lead us to think? If I do the math, okay, the time was told when he would come in Daniel chapter 9. Remember I told you how that's a hated book because of the prophecies? Okay, they were told. That's how come Anna, at the remember when Jesus was born, Mary took him to the temple, and who met him? Who met them? Simon did. And what did Simon, the old man who said, God promised me I wouldn't die until I saw the salvation of Israel, and he holds the baby and he says, now, Lord, I'm ready to go home. How did he know that that was the time of the Messiah? Because Daniel chapter 9. He knew they were in that area. Lord, we're getting close to when you're going to... Isn't that funny? All the other people missed it. You know why they missed it? Because they didn't read their Bible. You understand? But how did Mary know? How come Mary didn't flip out? Because she was in a family that knew the Scripture. Who struggled with it? Joseph did, though, didn't he? Joseph did. When she said, I'm expecting. Why? Because what was the threat? If she was expecting without being married, then they would stone her. Right? Or they'd exile her. So then he gets concerned because he didn't want his fiancée to get stoned. Okay? So he cared about Mary. He didn't know the Scriptures as well, I think, as she did. Okay? So, this is the time frame. There is nothing life-changing about what I just told you other than I think when Resurrection Sunday rolls around, every Baptist, every Christian, every Bible believer ought to know there's nothing good about Friday. He was crucified on Wednesday. He was in the grave on Friday. That's why we don't have Good Friday services. I'm not here to bash Catholics. That's for Catholics. That's for people that are lost. Do you understand? They don't read their Bible. You understand? They just go with what the priests tell them. As a Bible-believing Baptist, you should also understand, praise the Lord, no, Jesus was not born this time of year. You say, well, that's just your opinion. No, there's Bible behind that. Well, when was he born? Give or take a few days. End of September, first part of October, right around there. That's much stronger to say, but I'm glad he came. Okay? And I think a Christian should be able to say, I don't get wrapped up in the times as much as I love God's Word. Okay? And God's Word directs my thinking and what I get excited about. Okay? Now, watch this. Let's change gears here. Are you ready? We still haven't read Luke chapter 2 yet, have we? Okay? We will in just a second. Watch. Now let's go to the story of Jesus. And I want you to think of three things. Ready? First of all, there's the genealogy of Jesus. Jesus, so-and-so begat so-and-so, the son of, okay? Then there's the actual story. This is Luke chapter 2. That's the actual story, okay? Then you have 2 years later is when, what's Matthew chapter 2? Matthew chapter 2 is not about the birth. It's about when the wise men came, when the kings of the east came, okay? And they brought gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Well, right after they leave, Herod says, cut every baby's head off. 2 years old and younger. I want that Christ killed. I want to be king. I don't want any other king in this land. That's how we know that at roughly when they showed up, Jesus was roughly between a year and a half to 2 years old. The only, most manger scenes are not scriptural. Okay? And watch this. If you have a manger scene at home and it's got the wise men and the camels, don't throw them in the trash when you go home. All right. Okay. Hot. That was a joke. I wish you'd have heard that. Okay. However, it would help you if you knew when you think of the Christmas story, Luke 2 is the story. Matthew 2 tells of 2 years later when the kings showed up and then bowed themselves before him and worshiped him and gave him when the huge caravan showed up. Glory to God. Okay. I'm not trying to teach you anything new. Just when you read your Bible, okay, watch this. Now you're going to have to focus with me here and just listen closely. And, I'm not going to talk over anybody's heads, but watch carefully. Well, here, I tell you what, go to Matthew. I think there's some things that ought to be marked in this quote-unquote Matthew chapter 1. There ought to be some things marked for you as a child of God in Matthew chapter 1. There ought to be some things that stand out. Look at verse 1. The book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. So, to be the Lord Jesus Christ coming to this earth, you have to be able, as a Jew, to link yourself to two people, Abraham and David. Your bloodline has to be with both, or you are not the Messiah. So, it's going to start. Ready? Here we go. Look at verse number 2. Abraham begat Isaac, and Isaac begat Jacob, and Jacob begat... Okay, and now you're going to get all the begats. You say, this is boring. Then let me give you four things to underline so it's not boring. Do you see verse number 3? Watch this. And Judas begat Perez and Zerah of, underline that word, Tamar. T-H-A-M-A-R. Now look at verse 5. I'll give you two things to underline, and I'll explain this to you in just a second. Ready? And Salmon begat Boaz, or Booz, of Rachab. Underline that word, Rachab. R-A-C-H-A-B. And Boaz begat Obed of, underline that word, Ruth. So you got Tamar, Rahab, Ruth. Look at verse 6. And Jesse begat David the king. And David the king begat Solomon of, here we go, would you underline those italicized words? Her that had been the wife of Uriah. Which was who? That was Bathsheba. They didn't mention her name. Do you realize, one, there's something very strange about what we just did. It's beautiful, though. First of all, a woman was not normally listed in a genealogy. You understand? It would be the son of, the son of, the son of. Do you realize the four women mentioned, each of them? Okay, who's Tamar? That's the one Judah slept with in Genesis 38 that was his son's wife. And when he died, he wouldn't give his other son to her so she could have children by him, so she had to sleep with her father-in-law. Bleh. Okay, yuck. You could call it incest. Look at verse 5. Who is Rahab? Anybody remember Rahab the harlot? Remember how she let the spies in, let them spy out Jericho, and then she sent them down the red thread in the thing? There's a harlot. So there's Tamar, incest, Rahab the harlot. Who is Ruth? She's the Moabite, right? Right? Ended up marrying Boaz, but she had to get saved. She was saved from a wicked people, okay? The Moabites were nasty, and I mean nasty, nasty. Then, who was, I think we all know who Bathsheba was, the adulteress. I don't think it was all her fault. David did call her to his room when it was time that he should have been at war. And I don't think she would have come if he hadn't called her. She didn't come knocking on his door. David, I think, that's how come David got punished for it. Okay? God killed 3 of his children and, you know, the other Tamar ended up being, you know, put in the castle for a while. All I'm telling you is this. There's 4 ladies. All of them involve immorality. What is the genealogy? And yet they're put in the genealogy of the Messiah. What a beautiful picture of God's grace. Well, I've done this. God can still use you. Yeah, but I've done this. God can still use you. Yeah, but I've done this. God can still use you if you will humble yourself and yield yourself to Him. Yeah, but I've got this in my past. Nothing probably will encourage you like Matthew chapter 1 when you look at the immoral women that are listed in that chapter. With their backgrounds, they had a lot of luggage also. Okay? Now, with that in mind, there's Matthew chapter 1. Ready? Pretty story. Hopefully that doesn't make the Bible too boring to you. Okay? Ready? Watch this. Now, you're going to have to look up here for this. When we cover the Gospels, I'll go into this with you more. Okay? Just listen closely. When you read the book of Matthew, it shows Jesus as a king. When you read the book of Mark, it shows Jesus as a servant. When you read the book of Luke, you'll experience Jesus' humanity. He thirsted. He got tired. He wept. This is the humanity of Jesus. And John, when you read the book of John, you experience Jesus as God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God, and without Him was not anything made that is made. He's the Creator, right? That's how the book of John starts. Follow me closely. How come there's only 2 genealogies, but there's 4 Gospels? You would think Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John would all have, here's the genealogy of Jesus. Let me show you why. Number one, Matthew, there's only 2 genealogies, Matthew and Luke. How come Mark doesn't have a genealogy? Because nobody cares where a servant comes from. Just do what you're told and get the job done. Right? Nobody cares where a slave comes from. They're a servant. Do you understand? There's no genealogy in Mark. It starts what? How does Mark start? Right with the coming of the son of John the Baptist. Behold, you know, make straight the paths. How come the book of John has no genealogy? So-and-so begat so-and-so. Because God had no beginning. Jesus is God. And then you're going to, as you read the book of John, when you're done, you're going to say, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. Only covers 7 days of his life in the book of John. Okay? Now, the genealogy in Matthew shows Jesus as a king. The genealogy in Luke is Mary's bloodline. Why? Okay? Stay with me. This is not bad. Just listen. When you read the genealogy, Joseph's bloodline starts, obviously, David begets, you know, so-and-so begat, you know, it's going to start with Abraham. It's going to go down through David the king, and it's going to hit Jeconiah. Who's Jeconiah? Do you remember Jeremiah, the book of Jeremiah, chapter 22 and Jeremiah chapter 36? Remember how Jeconiah took the word of God and cut it and then threw it into the fireplace? And God said, that's it. Everybody from your bloodline forward, none of your boys, none of them are going to sit on the throne. They are cursed forever. You don't treat my word that way, right? Do you remember the story of Jeconiah? Now, that's Jeremiah 22 and 36. So Joseph's bloodline eventually goes David, Jeconiah, everything's cursed, and then you have Joseph. But this is the king's bloodline. All these men were, after Jeconiah, they were ones who were, you know, they were supposed to sit on the throne. And God said, not one from Jeconiah on. Well, wait a second. We know Joseph wasn't Jesus' real pop, right? You know, he was the son of God Almighty, and Joseph was his stepdad, right? Right? He was a stepdad. But we got a problem. Something has to clear the curse. Because right now, the Messiah, even though he does not have Joseph's blood in him, he has his father's blood, it's cursed. How do we remove the curse? Luke chapter 3, and look at verse number 23. And from here to the end is Mary's bloodline. Ready? Look at verse 23. And Jesus himself began to be about 30 years of age, being, I love it, in the King James Bible, as was supposed. In other words, he was the stepdad, the son of Joseph. Do you notice how in Matthew it said, Abraham begat, and do you realize in Luke it's saying the son of, the son of, the son of? That word son can mean son, son-in-law. It can also mean uncle, okay? Joseph was the son-in-law of Heli, which was the son of Matthat, which was the son of Levi, which, look at verse number 31. Which was the son of Meliah, which was the son of Manan, which was the son of Mattatha, which was the son of Nathan, which was the son of David. That word Nathan, if you underline it just a little bit, it'll help you think about what I'm telling you. Watch this. Yes, David had Solomon, and Solomon had the kings until Jeconiah sat on the throne. But one of David's other sons, who was royal blood, was Nathan. And through Nathan's bloodline, Nathan was not cursed. And eventually, Mary's dad, okay, all right, Mary was the legal line, the legal bloodline to royalty, to the throne of David. Joseph was the bloodline, the actual bloodline of David. Do you realize for Jesus to fulfill the prophecy that the seed of his loins would sit on the throne and his government there shall be no end and he shall rule forever? Do you realize that Mary and Joseph had to get married? They had to get married. Joseph was cursed. Mary had open again to the legal bloodline. That lets me know this. You say, okay, preacher, here we go. We've done the... Oh! We've done the bloodline. You know what that tells me? You say, what's a Bible study like this do to you? Your marriage is very important. Well, no, Mary and Joseph's is, just like yours is. You say, well, we met in a bar. I know, but you got saved. Amen. You got saved. Do you realize God put you and your husband or you and your wife together for a purpose? Nothing is happenstance. Just like you say, wow, through all of those years, then eventually, Joseph marries Mary. Wow, how did that God work that out? It, and watch this, it had to be that way. And I don't think they knew that. I don't think they said, you know what, you're going to give birth to the Messiah and my bloodline's cursed and you got a pretty clean slate, so you and me, baby, we need to go ahead and tie the knot. Okay, I know I just downphrased it, but I don't think they knew. God did. God did. Isn't that a beautiful story? Isn't that beautiful? Now, that's taking your Bible and going through there. That's something about the birth of the Lord that I'm not trying to teach you something new this morning as much as this week I'd like you to really enjoy Jesus coming for us. Now, we got the genealogy. We understand. Whew, a lot there. 2 years later, Matthew 2, I think I have time to cover this, okay? The prophecy. The prophecy. What was the prophecy? The first prophecy in your Bible that God would send the Messiah was Genesis 3:15. The seed of the woman shall crush the head of the serpent. Right? Right? Then you have many prophecies. Isaiah 7:14, that's the text for my sermon this morning. But a virgin shall conceive and bear a son. Listen closely, and I think this is an adult class, and I try not to get unseemly. The miracle was not the virgin birth. Do you understand? It was not a virgin, although that's wonderful, and I think Mary is to be, you know what I mean? Just because Catholics worship her doesn't mean that we should look down on her. Amen? All right, and I'll mention that in the sermon. But listen closely. Do you realize, like Jesus was born of Mary, the virgin, a virgin conceived? Do you realize that the Antichrist also, he's going to point to that prophecy and he's going to say, I was born of a virgin. I fulfilled. How's he going to do that? Okay, I was on a horse farm, so that's how come I can say this, but virgins nowadays can give birth. Artificial insemination, right? Okay, that's all I need to say about that. But the virgin birth was not as much of the miracle as this was. God would conceal and contain himself in a human body. The conception of the Holy Ghost overshadowing Mary and being conceived of God, that was a miracle. Do you understand? The virgin birth singled it out, and let's face it, back then, that was a miracle. That had never happened before. Nowadays, you understand, it's more common, and as we get closer to Jesus coming, okay? So, the prophecy fulfilled, okay, is that God would confine himself to a human body, Isaiah to Matthew. Then, I think every Christian ought to know this. How come it's important then that Jesus was born of a virgin? Because the blood of the dad runs through the child. When a lady gets pregnant and they don't know who the dad is, what do? A blood test. And it's unanswerable, right? They automatically know. How is that? Because the blood of the father runs through the veins of the child. Since Jesus, our Savior, was conceived of the Lord God the Father, it was God's blood Jesus shed on the cross. Do you understand? It was God's blood flowing through his veins. That's why we as Christians, as Bible-believing Baptists, we hold very strong. No. Mary was a virgin. No, Joseph is not the illegitimate father of Jesus. No, he was a stepdad. He was God's son. And because he was God's son, his blood washes away our sin. That's the important. That's why when we say you have to believe Jesus was virgin born or you can't be saved. Do you understand? That sounds like a strong statement to make, but there's Bible behind that. When you and now let me cover one more thing with you. In Luke 1:47, when Mary finds out she's expecting, She goes to see Elizabeth, and the babe leaps in her womb, and in Elizabeth's womb, John the Baptist does. And then Mary testifies, and she says, My soul doth magnify the Lord. What did the angel tell Mary? That she found favor with God, not grace. What does a Catholic pray on the rosary? Hail Mary, full of grace, Hail Mary, full of grace. Does anybody know, what is that one statement? What is that one? I always say, Hail Mary, full of grace, get me out of this horrible place. I know that's not, it doesn't rhyme. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. And then they, you know what I mean? And they hold on to the beads. The Catholics say Mary is to be worshipped because the angel said she's full. No, the angel never said that. She's not full of grace. She is not one who helps you get to God. Mary never received worship. In Matthew 2:11, when the kings came to bring the gold, frankincense, and myrrh, they didn't bow down at Mary's feet. They bowed down at the child's feet. At the child's feet. Here's gifts for the child. Let me show you one more thing, because in a Catholic area, it kind of helps to know that. Go to one last scripture. Go to Luke chapter 11. Go to Luke, and we're going to end with this. Luke chapter 11. I hope you enjoy the Christmas story. I hope you enjoy it as you read it, and I hope as the Holy Spirit teaches you. But watch this. Luke chapter 11, and look at verse number 27. Watch what happens here. Luke 11, verse 27. Is that right? Luke 11. Oh, I'm in Luke 12. Sorry. Okay, I didn't think it was there. Luke 11, verse 27. Ready? And it came to pass, as he spake these things, a certain woman of the company lifted up her voice and said unto him, she's going to lift up Mary, Blessed is the womb that bare thee and the paps which thou hast sucked. So she's lifting up. Somebody in the crowd is saying, Blessed is Mary, your mother. And look what Jesus says. He immediately shuts it down. And look at verse 28. But he said, Yea, rather blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it. He never pointed anybody to his mother. Do you understand? Oh, your mother must have been so blessed. No, blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it. Blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it. Mary never received worship. Never. And I think if anybody would have tried it like they do nowadays, I think she would have done like the angels and done like John did in the book of Revelation, or the angel, or John tried. Don't. That belongs to God. All worship goes to the Lord. You don't bow down to me. You don't worship me. Okay? So, this is the Christmas story, probably hit from a different angle, and I hope you enjoy it. Luke 2 is the story, Matthew 2, 2 years later. God bless every one of you. Let's go ahead, and we got about 12 minutes.